The NPL Show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome, everyone, to the January's edition of the EvoStick NPL Show. Recorded in mid-February. It's a calendar joke. I find it very funny. Recorded January's in mid-Feb. What? Swampy's here, by the way.
You've done something again. You did an interview last week with Tom Greaves of FC United of Manchester and called him mid-30s when he's 32.
Yeah.
You've now said mid-month and it's the 6th.
No. 7th, actually, Swampy.
And when the show goes out, it'll be the 9th.
That's not
which isn't even the middle of the month.
And most people listen to this show. Strangely, we found that most people don't listen to this show on a Friday or Saturday. It's Sunday and Monday.
That's very good. They can all point at their speakers and go, ha ha, they got it wrong again.
That, Simo, I think that's exactly, that's exactly it. It has to be the only reason, but it's not. We're in the early part of. We're in the finoon.
It's late,
We're in the finoon, yes, of
January.
February.
Oh. Welcome, everyone, to the EvoStick NPL Show for January. We will have a February edition sometime in March.
Ben, you know, like,
Berkey's here, by the way.
You know, like magazines, they always run a month in advance.
Yes.
So you'll get the... I'm sure you normally buy it your March edition of GQ.
Yes.
Or
Kerrang.
Well, that's weekly.
Oh, sorry, I do apologise.
You get your monthly one of your magazines. Mm-hmm. In February, it'll have March on it.
It came out in the 90s, didn't it? In the 90s.
What?
Kerrang, first issue was in the
90s. No, it's 1981, I believe.
No.
Yes, it was.
That wasn't.
I can assure you it was, because my dad was in it in the 80s.
That's what I thought, mate.
Berkey's here, by the way.
81, your dad was in it, I believe.
Swampy's here. Andrew Simpson is here. I'm more on Andrew Simpson for the Manchester Guardians during Matters Arising, because there's been some...
Surely there should be music coming into it. And Matthew Simpson is... That'd be brilliant.
I think you
deserve a jingle. For the amount of time that you travel to get it, you deserve a jingle.
Let's make it happen.
And James Hayes is here as well from the league. Hello, James. How are you?
Saying that, you travel fair distance, don't you, as well?
Stalinbridge.
I feel like we should start again.
No, this is good. Right. just to talk about Matters Arising, last week we had to come up with a show on the hoof because the table down here at the Eating Ops was being varnished.
No, it was
an award winning table, we should say.
It was an award winning varnish. Pitch.
The official
is a waterlogged pitch. Let's leave it at that. It was brilliant.
So we cobbled,
can we start going to the soon to be award winning station Tap 11 Gym? Hi, Damien.
So we tried to recorded a show, and it transpired that it was a bit West Pennine centric, with a couple of exceptions. We had Stamford's manager on, and we were talking about the West Ridings Football Association. So it wasn't too West Pennine centric.
It wasn't, but it wasn't West. But
people were complaining, and someone complained. Well, not going to name names, about your prediction, Simo, and it transpired that they were all correct.
False. What do I know?
Apparently, you were showing some Cheshire bias, though.
Is that right? Is it my fault that Buxton's manager's been fired, then? Because I predicted they'd get beat at the weekend.
Well, yes. We'll talk about Martin McIntosh leaving. We do need to address the West Pennine thing. So we've got Graham Smith coming on from the Derbyshire Times. So we've gone from West Pennines to South Pennines.
The South Pennines?
Yeah, I'm not sure that exists.
Central Pennines?
No, it doesn't even exist. East or West?
When you say two West Pennines...
It's a very niche criticism.
We had Workington on, we had Warrington on, we had Simo on from a Witten point of view. It was a bit West Pennine Central.
But I don't understand. I've never heard the word West Pennine Central.
No.
I sincerely blame the creation of the Yorkshire International Football Association.
Absolutely.
It's created an us and them divide in the north, and I think it should be...
What's going on here? You know, not cabbage, rhubarb.
In the Wakefield Triangle.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't believe that these people are necessarily from Yorkshire that are talking about a West Pennine bias.
We've moved on, we've covered it.
I hope there's no racism down here. No.
Thank you.
It's got to stay in now,
hasn't it? Yeah, it does. Thanks, Damien.
Bradford Park Avenue.
Right, anyway.
For the listener, they need to know, basically, that we're in a room downstairs, and he's been working in the back room, and the head just went, oh, there's that, no racism. And closed the door.
Anyway.
That was genius.
It was genius. Brilliant timing.
Right.
From next month, by the way, Ben, I think what we could do is we could put a camera up there, and we could have the show
Periscope
and live.
Periscope. We did periscope it once.
We did.
We did, and we were on our very, very, very best behaviour. It didn't work at all.
No, it was 20 minutes in there, but Jim had told him at the start.
Oh, that's true.
So, we're going to start off talking about the top end of the Premier Division.
Oh, it's a football.
Yeah, and then we're going to talk about the middle of the table, then the bottom end of the table, and then if we look at a different table entirely, maybe two of them from Division 1. There is a Division 1 show out this week as well, we should say, with loads of interviews in. But it's a shame Richard's not here. We were hoping Richard was going to be here. He was about Alte, because Alte at the moment, well, are they unstoppable? It's 6 points now up at the top.
Is this a bit where we pretend there's a title race?
Is there a title race?
No.
Okie dokie. Right, congratulations to Alte.
Yes. They've lost once in 21 games. I'm sure a match that Simo can tell us all about as well. But they're just... Right, there isn't a title race. Altrincham are firing on all cylinders plus one. It's ridiculous. They've gone 21 games where they've lost one game.
So how many cylinders have they got then?
All of them.
Plus one.
It's infinity plus one. It's mathematical shenanigans.
It's another 10-point situation here, isn't it?
What kind of...
Well, now I didn't want to say... Because you know me, I don't like to predict teams will win by 10 points. But I feel forced to do it now. I feel forced to do it. And all two of my choice this year. It looks like they're going to go... 10 points clear at some point soon.
It's a big win that against Ashton midweek.
Huge, huge win. Well, Ashton, they haven't been beaten since September in all competitions. Just let me finish. They went to Shaw Lane a couple of weeks ago. Had a really good draw against them. Could have snatched it as well. They're the real deal, Ashton United. You know, they've come on strong this season. I know people. You are raising an eyebrow at me.
This is
history rewriting itself. When I said Ashton United, they'll do well this season, he's like, no, they'll be mid-table. This annual, apart from Simon,
shall we talk about Ashton a bit more now? Is the squad size going to be a problem, though?
Not really, because they're full of injuries anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's pretty major ones up in the last month as well, as we pointed out, against Stourbridge, so I don't do the game, but... The three massive ones up front, and you can see what the difference is now with it.
Yeah, exactly. But they're still keeping them out, generally speaking, at the back. Altrincham's different, isn't it? I mean, every team's conceding three goals to Altrincham pretty much.
I thought they'd given more of a game, though. I mean, it sounds like it was a really one-sided game on Tuesday.
Certainly the first half, the first 45 minutes for Altrincham last night were absolutely outstanding. They were sublime. But when your squad has been decimated to a degree... And you've got a finite amount of resource that the team can gel even
especially
more.
Especially when you've got your manager actually on the bench as well.
Yeah.
It's like an all for one, one for all kind of thing, isn't it?
And Ashton have been there and thereabouts, as we know, playoffs for the last, four or five years.
We talked about last year, so I did expect them last year to do...
As well as they had been. This year they've surprised a lot of people. I mean, Aaron Chambers is scoring goals. I mean, again, last night again they were 3-0 down, and they nearly got a draw out of it, to be honest, because, you know, they scored very late on. They got a really late goal as well. But they're a decent outfit. They're going to be hard in the playoffs. You would have them as cemented as a playoff contender, and be hard, a hard team to come against.
And Jody Banham as well. He's not just a non-league legend, which I'm sure Teagot will confirm. He's got a brain in his head. You know, he's brought in. I mean, this is almost the best signing he's made all season. Getting Simon Woodford in as his assistant. What a fantastic appointment that was. When Will Haining stepped down in the summer, absolutely perfect appointment.
We've been talking about Alte and Ashton United for too long now. This is too Manx centric all of a sudden.
You said go back to Altrincham because we said about three things about them.
All right, let's.
We should probably show them love. Let's flip the question then and say, are you surprised that that the others aren't nearer to it?
That's a good question. I'll ask that question. Is anyone surprised that nobody is challenging Alte a bit?
I think personally they've all done very well to be as close as they are.
Really?
I do, because we know, for me, we know the style of football that Parky had at Nantwich. He's a manager that quite easily have gone into the National League North, or even the National League as far as I'm concerned, because his philosophy of football and his methodology, and I think he could do very well with a, to a degree, so let's say, you know, a bigger squad and a lot better players. The players that he's assembled there, though, Altrincham have been absolutely outstanding. The football that they've played has been really entertaining. That very, very small blip that we were all quite astounded with at the very beginning of the season. And they've gone on. But I'm very, very impressed with the chasing pack, because they are still very, very close. I mean, you know, we'll be talking, or we have spoken in the past about South Shields, thinking they would be miles away. They haven't. Mm. And Altrincham themselves, we thought they may be miles away as well. The squad was too good, the quality they brought in, and they're not miles away. One or two defeats for Altrincham could find them.
Really, they
not,
playing,
not struggling, yeah. But they've got good.
Charlene on Tuesday.
Exactly, right. You know, Charlene on Tuesday.
I don't know, I just see Charlene dropping some points soon, that's all.
Well, let's again, talk. You know, let's
weekend,
talk.
Colville away. Yeah. Again, you know, Charlene winning about 3-1.
Well, they drew 1-0 at Stourbridge, which is a good. Is that a good result? I don't know with Stourbridge anymore. And then obviously the Colville win is a good result.
Great win.
But all eyes are looking at Charlene now to see if they can.
I would say they have to win on Tuesday.
Yeah. Ben, all barring something strange within football, you'll find that Charlene will be finishing second or third spot, or even challenging for the top spot. With a new manager coming in, that change, I mean, it's seldom you find you lose a manager who moves somewhere else, does brilliantly well, as he's doing.
Yeah.
What's the name? It's at Boston. And the manager that comes in does equally as well. You don't often see, you see one team going one way, one team. They're a tough, tough team to beat.
Let's talk about Grantham.
Oh, yeah.
Grantham third. A good result at the weekend against Witton Albion.
They nicked a point.
But are we, you know, I know this is January show, but we are nearly in mid-February. We're approaching the end of March, Burke.
Yeah.
And
playoffs around the corner.
Grantham don't look like they're going to drop out of this.
Sure
they don't look like they're going to drop out of it, but I don't see them challenging for the top either. Simple fact is they're not winning enough at home. They've only won half the home games. It's not good enough for winning the league.
Yeah, but I have been
told it's good enough for being up there in the playoffs, no question about it, in an away farm.
Isn't that job done though?
It should be, but I mean, you know, it's only five points back to Hensford, a little bit back, but and they've got a better home record, you know. But then again, Grantham, they've got Lynch Shaw, we've mentioned him a million times. But they need to pick it up. They have done actually, Simo. They need to pick it up at home.
And what about Warrington?
Big win for them on Tuesday. They needed that, coming off the back of the disappointment of going out in the trophy. Not so much because they went out the trophy, the way in which it happened, conceding so late and iffy, very iffy penalty against them as well. To get back on track in the league so quickly after that is a huge, huge win for them. You would, under normal circumstances, have expected them to win away to Matlock, but coming off the back of that long trip and the disappointment of going out just puts them back in the mix again.
Because that's a big.
Well, they came back from behind, didn't they? They were one
yeah,
down.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
You know, Bennett scores after 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Pickett scores, and then you know Pickett scores again. So the 2-1 up, going to the second half, 2-1 up, get an early goal in the second half, and it's a great result for them, because you rightly say, Simo, it's heartbreaking at that stage. Of being knocked out of a competition.
It's a very long season Warrington are having as well, aren't they? Because they're in everything at the moment.
Yeah, but they've got the squad depth.
Have they though? I
think they've got the second best squad after Altrincham, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, they've.
Big shout. Mm. The result on Saturday for Warrington is bad news for the other teams who are trying to get into the playoffs, because we were touching on this on Friday about if you're in this chasing pack, which we'll come on to in a minute, you're kind of looking at somebody to slip up, and if Warrington had carried on their trophy run, or Workington carried on their trophy run, it gives you hope that they're going to struggle to divide their attention, and the fact they have been knocked out now is.
And that brings us on to Workington, because we spoke to Lee Andrews last week and I asked him in the interview, you don't really want a replay, do you? And he said, no, we don't want a replay.
I believe him.
And you know, I looked at the result last night, and as I was kicking the window, I was thinking, how bad's it going to be? Because I don't think anyone was going to expect. It would have been a hell of a result if Workington beat Bromley at Bromley midweek.
Yes.
How much of an impact is that a scoreline like that going to have? Because there's exits in a competition, and then there's exit in a competition, isn't there?
I think it's all working to have five players out last night purely for work reasons. Obviously, with a replay literally 2 days after the match, that's difficult enough to turn around as it is anyway to go down to London. But again, they get from one of the reports saying last night they gave it a goal, especially in the first half. The instant reply from the first goal, you thought, you know what, game on. Took about half an hour before Bromley started opening the scoring a little bit more. And all credits, and again, you can't knock any Warrington and Workington together, both very tough ties, and both of them taking it to the right to the death in the last round as well. So they've done well enough to be able to say they've got to the last 16.
But for me personally, I think the FA were a disgrace. I think the nature of the FA Trophy, the FA Vars, are for semi-professional clubs that are slightly lower down the pecking order to be able to compete against the big boys of non-league football nowadays. So for Workington to have to go down on a Tuesday to London in a replay is an absolute disgrace. They've lost five players because of work, which, you know, people that, you know, let's say the paramedics or the doctors or their school teachers, they can't get away from work. It's an absolute disgrace. The FA needs to look at it absolutely.
What's the solution? No replays.
The solution is it's a Saturday again. It's a Saturday again. It's an absolute no brainer for me. It really is, and I feel so sorry for them. And the thing is, that will have a psychological effect, or could do, hugely on that football club that are on the cusp of possibly playoffs. But
this week, it's good for them this weekend that they're at home again, and they are playing Farsley.
It is big.
So.
It's a travesty the way football clubs at this level have been treated.
What about Hensford? Hensford have been... I'm going to go to Swampy about this, because he mentioned Hensford a while ago. Hensford beating Farsley Celtic on Saturday.
Great win.
Wow. That's...
Listen, I still believe the manager's in there now. He knows how to get promoted. It is a slight tall order,
but
I have said from the early part of the season that they were one of my teams that, you know, if they can get it right, and I know it's taken two managers to get to the point where we are, but the same
which makes it even better achievement to be sixth, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I firmly believe they've got everything in place, and he's the manager that knows how to win games and also knows how to win in playoffs.
I don't know if you can call them dark horses necessarily, because they're only just outside the playoffs, aren't they? But they've played more games than everyone else. They do need other people to slip up, no question about it. But a lot of the teams in the top five, they're playing each other once or twice this month.
Barwell are flying well and truly under the radar, aren't they? And
again,
the results are all of a sudden just there, chipping away.
Barwell. That's all
you
can say.
Yeah, but this is like, well, I did say Barwell Plus earlier in the season. I think this is Barwell Plus. I don't think they can finish in the playoffs, but if the season finished now and they were ninth, that's...
Why can't they finish in the playoffs?
To revisit the theme, to have a genuine playoff race, someone's going to need to lose form quite dramatically. I don't know who I'm going to back to do that, if any of them are going to do that. And...
We talked about Ashley United having a small squad, having backs against the wall kind of thing.
Yeah.
Barwell aren't in anyone's...
No pressure Barwell as well, I suppose, because nobody expects them, which they can use to their advantage. I would say that Workington are probably a little bit of pressure because they're desperate to get back up.
Their next five are Hensford, Ashton, Workington, Stafford, Warrington. Four of them in the playoffs at this moment in time. You can't...
Barwell have won 12 out of 32 league games.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be in the playoffs.
Have you seen where the good results have started to happen? It is quite recently.
Yeah. I think Berkey makes a good point, though, actually. Do you think we're going to see almost a record low number of points to get in the playoffs?
Oh, blimey, that's a very good shout, you know. I think people are taking a lot of points off each other,
yeah.
You're absolutely right, Simo.
And finally, I'm going to draw a line under Witton Albion.
Right.
What, literally? Literally.
Underneath... And between 10th and 11th, is that fair?
Yeah, no one's going to come from below them to challenge for the playoffs. Sorry, Stourbridge.
More on that shortly.
More on that. Oh, it's a
I'm expecting letters.
I agree with you, in fairness.
We touched on this last week, so we won't go over it again. I think Witten's still got a chance. I think it's improbable that they will make the playoffs, but they still have a chance.
You have to say that, don't you, For political reasons.
For political reasons. I think they do have a chance, but I think it's a slim one.
It's not a bad showing, though, is it? First season back up to the 10th. If you finish top half, first season after getting promoted, you've done all right by me.
That's the end of our playoff title chasing group of teams.
I think we've actually
not mentioned that week after Lancaster.
After the break, we're going to talk about those teams in that grey area, and one of those teams we're going to talk about now, Buxton. Obviously, we're recording this on Wednesday, and news broke that Martin McIntosh has left the club. On Thursday, I caught up with the Derbyshire Times' very own Graham Smith for more.
So, welcome, Graham, to the show. You've interviewed Martin McIntosh. We're recording this bit on Thursday. You interviewed him on Wednesday. What's his general feeling after that?
He was philosophical. He was accepting of it. Martin could only say good things about the club. And I think it came across in his interview that he was perhaps ready for a change himself. You know, he's been at Buxton 6 years, flirted with the playoffs, hadn't quite managed to break into that. But, you know, they're up against teams with budgets that far outweigh theirs. And I think he feels like he's done a pretty good job. And maybe it had just gone as far as it could, the relationship. So whilst I think it's a very amicable split, I also think perhaps it's a timely split as well.
And this is the thing, I mean, you've touched upon it there. I mean, the this season there's been a lot of teams in the NPL who did really well last season. Buxton's one of them, obviously Stourbridge, Nantwich, Whitby Town, Matlock even. They were all in and around the playoff positions last season. They've just been caught out, I think. For Buxton then, and for Martin McIntosh, he's been 6 seasons. He is part of the fabric of the club in many ways.
Yeah, I think he's done a fine job there. I think they'd kind of found a way to work that he enjoyed and that seemed to bring Buxton some success on the pitch. I think off the pitch, he was really important to them as well. I mean, you know, he brought in the transfer fees. You know, he was very shrewd when it came to that kind of thing. He brought Mark Roberts in on loan from Worksop when Mark Roberts couldn't get a game at Worksop, and kind of nurtured him, put his arm around him. And then, you know, when it came time for the summer, Roberts wanted to move and leave to Buxton. And then, you know, Buxton signed him, and 3 weeks later, he sold to Halifax for a enormous profit, really, for a club like Buxton. And whilst Roberts is probably the headline transfer in the 6 years because of what he's gone on to do since, that kind of epitomised the way Martin McIntosh worked. Very much a people person, very much a manager to put his arm around a player and nurture them and try and develop them. And as he says himself, they didn't want, as a club, to stand in anyone's way. So they ended up selling on quite a few players. And that's definitely a blueprint that I think a few more non-league clubs could use. Rather than just, you know, going through players at an incredible rate and not really letting anyone stay and develop.
And for the future then, for Martin McIntosh, I mean, he's a friend of the show. He's been on this show and listens to the show regular as well. He's not going to be out of work for too long, is he?
No, he's not going to want to be out of work for too long in football terms. He tells me that he's had 3 months out of the game since he was 16. You know, and that was the time between leaving Worksop as manager and joining Buxton. So he's want to get straight back in the saddle, and I don't think he'll find it particularly difficult.
Well, Graham Smith from the Derbyshire Times, derbyshiretimes.co.uk, and you can follow Graham's work because he reports for Chesterfield as well as other clubs in the Derbyshire area, at Graham Smith on Twitter. Graham, a big thank you for taking time out your busy evening to come on the show. Busy doing your preparations for Chesterfield this weekend, and you keep up the good work, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Ben.
A big thank you to Graham Smith there from the Derbyshire
Some
Times.
Some wise words as well, yes.
Martin McIntosh, obviously, second longest serving manager at Buxton. It's just not quite worked out for Buxton this year, has it?
It's in a way, because obviously Buxton next season with a new 4G pitch and changing things around a little bit, they'll have a little bit more money because they'll be able to utilise the pitch. Everything. They're actually going to, for me personally, they're losing a really good manager. Because based upon the revenue income for next season might be slightly better than it is this season. He's done really, really well. And he's done really, really well for two or three, four seasons at Buxton. And I think he'll go on somewhere else.
Ultimately, it comes down to whether the board feel that Buxton have been underperforming, not necessarily just this season, but over the last few years. I mean, they've not made the playoffs.
But when you took them
they've
over,
they've been close. They've been close.
When you took them over, they were nearly getting relegated.
Oh, you saved them from relegation. No question about it. In fact, did he take over when it was the Pig's Head game? Was it round about then? Or was it just... Was it the year, in fact, it was the year after that.
It was the year after the FC United Pig
Head. I did raise the Pig Head gate once to him and he didn't know what I was talking about.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, okay. So clearly it wasn't.
And ultimately, I think the board had come to the conclusion that nothing's really going to change. I assume they think they should have been finishing higher than they have done the last few seasons. I mean, they're in 15th at the moment. It's not a false position.
And Buxton, just like Stourbridge, like Nantwich, like Matlock, like Stafford Rangers, like Whitby. Just not really...
I think what you've got to ask yourself is what represents success for Buxton. Realistically, are they a Conference North club in waiting? I don't think that they are.
They might be with a 3G pitch.
They might be. Things are in flux, which is why Swampy's right. It makes it a bit more of an odd decision to me because you've got an outstanding man. I know the 15th in league, it might seem odd, you've got an outstanding manager, but he is an outstanding manager. I'd look how he'd done. 13th, 7th, 13th, 10th, 11th, 7th. It's hardly horrendous, is it?
Oh, it's not horrendous, but
the final position doesn't really necessarily tell
not always
what happened with the season. I mean, last season they're in the playoffs for much of it.
Yeah, but that's been the story the last few seasons, isn't it? Where they've started off well and they've kind of tumbled away. And
it is tough in this league this season when you've got clubs like Buxton, like Stourbridge, like Matlock, like Stafford Rangers, like Whitby, who had a good season last season. Maybe not Stafford Rangers, but you get the point I'm making. And it's just not quite worked out for them this year. Mm. But that's because of how competitive it's been.
I don't know.
I think you make a really good point. I think McIntosh says in that piece that if they beat Barwell on Saturday, they'd have been just outside the top 10. And it feels a lot different than... You know, that's how quickly things are changing in this league at the moment.
In that mid-table pack, we've got Stourbridge. Not quite worked for Stourbridge. Matlock Town, it's not worked for Matlock Town. Matlock Town every other week are putting a news story up saying we need to go back to the drawing board.
They're being quite harsh on themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, I think
self-flagellation going on at Matlock.
And Whitby Town have been to and fro in there or thereabouts. It's just not quite clicked. It's just one of them seasons for a lot of these sides, isn't it?
It is.
Let's talk about Stourbridge.
Looking at that table, there we are together, Lancaster, Stourbridge, Nantwich. The last couple of games have really killed their first season. I said it a couple of weeks ago on the weekly version. They had to pick up the wins. They've not been able to get that form going to get up to proper playoff.
It's a good season for Nantwich, though, isn't it?
Good season for Nantwich. Yes. But again, when everyone was saying it about a couple of weeks ago, they had the 6-7 games in hand. They'll start going on a run.
Yeah, but
they're away from the relegation zone, which is what the key was, I think.
The points per game ratio weren't ever great, though. That's the thing. They're about where they deserve to be at the minute, I think. But there's no relegation zone, Ben. It's just last.
Okay, let's talk about last then. Sutton Coldfield, they've got teeth, haven't they?
Around.
Well, one in particular.
They've got tough.
We discussed it last week. The fact that, you know, he's come in there. He's had experience of this already with Romulus.
Yes.
And they picked up 4 points from the two games we were talking about, which is great. That's probably what they would have been aiming for. One away game, one home game, 4 points. Everybody else needs to be very, very worried.
At the same time, Stalybridge have started to get a result on the board.
They had two home games, so it was nailed. Yeah. And they were going to get some
points. They've got the home form. The pressure's there for on Hills Owen, isn't it?
Anne-Marie, we have to say.
It's the bottom four, isn't it? The bottom four have to...
I think so.
Are we surprised with Marine, Swamper? Because I'm going to come to you from Marine. Are you surprised with Marine? It's not really. They've not really got away, have they?
How many times can they dodge a bullet?
They played against on the day a poor FC team who
they beat Chorley in the next round.
Yeah. And
Danny Mitchell is the only player who's doing anything for him again at the moment. He's trying to pull the team through, but. The rest, for whatever reason, it's not gelling.
One thing that Marine has highlighted is the fact that the three teams below them, who've been below them all season, they've caught up. Yeah. And at the moment, where's the impetus now?
Steady yourself.
Was it a masterstroke by the Sutton Coldfield board to do what they did at the time they did it?
Yeah, well, it really was. What I worked out this afternoon is it's been very, very quiet in terms of managerial changes, unremarkably so this season. But the one club that really, you could say Art Russell as well, they've got themselves out of either, I suppose, but the one club where I think it could be a masterstroke is, because of all the stuff we've talked about, his previous links with the club, he obviously has an instant impact, 7 points in three games. They look like they're getting their act together at home, which has always been their thing, if you like. I think that they are going to get out of it.
I think so.
I do think they'll get out of it.
Because I think as well, they'll do
that.
They are like the cats of the Northern Premier League, aren't they? They've been dead now several times.
Well,
it's
a little bit like Marina. You know, they've been there. You know, the trapdoor. They will fall through the trapdoor eventually.
Berkey, you've got you're waving.
Never mind cats, Ben. There's a massive elephant in the room that you're completely and utterly ignoring. That's Hales Owen. The second bottom, you've not even mentioned it.
I was about to get to Hales Owen.
Were you?
Yes.
I'm not convinced.
Right, you're not convinced about Hales Owen?
Are you going to get to him?
Before you do,
yeah.
Sutton Coldfield, their Achilles heel is the 33 games.
More games, yeah, I get
it. Stellenbosch Celtic, if they get relegated, it'll be their own fault.
How many more points are Hales Owen and Sutton Coldfield going to get, do you think?
The point I'm making is that, from a Stellenbosch Celtic perspective, 27 games, they've got a huge buffer.
But they're all away.
If they do not win them, it'll be their own fault.
They're away for me.
That's a good point, actually. They've only played 12 away games, so they are still in Mither.
Yeah, they are.
It'll be down to them. If Stellenbosch starts to get relegated, it is entirely down to them. I cannot for the life of me think why they're there. Steve Bird is a top draw manager.
Hales Owen, they've won 2 in 16. It's relegation form, whichever way you look at it.
Stellenbosch have one thing at their advantage at the moment, apart from the games, is that they're only minus 13.
Yeah, and they're good at home. They are genuinely are. That aberration.
How many homes has Stellenbosch got left? How many home games?
Some of them.
Well, they've got 12 away.
Eight.
They've got eight at home.
That'll be enough.
They'll be on home form, they're 10th in the league, which always makes me laugh.
For me, it's between probably Marine, Hales Owen, and Sutton Coldfield.
Can Whitby or Rushall or Stafford be dragged in? Because they've not quite got enough points yet, have they?
Only Stafford would concern me slightly because they don't score enough goals.
But they get the results out this morning.
Now, I'm not going to ask you for your predictions about relegation.
Why not?
Because it's...
We'll give you one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Similar then.
What, who's going down?
Yeah.
Hales Owen.
Burke. Well, I would never agree with... I'd never disagree with Andrew Simpson ever. So I'm going to say Hales Owen 10.
Swampy, can you balance this out so it's not...
A team that's going to go down? Oh, Lancaster City.
Hey.
Hebnesford! Hebnesford are going to go down.
Grantham.
I think... Listen, it's... Sutton Coldfield have had a nice little bounce... But I still think
is that the danger that I'm
with a minus 44.
Is eye watering that
33 games only a game with Hales Owen. I'm going to stick with the team that I'm at the bottom at this moment in time and say, unfortunately, Sutton Coldfield.
And I'm not going to put you in that position, James.
I just see Hales Owen dropping more and more points. And Stalybridge have got Connor Hughes. He can't get relegated again. That'd be 5 years on the trot.
Well, maybe that's
the perhaps then they're getting
maybe
relegated.
That's the problem. Anyway, well done for finding that out. Root cause analysis right there, Burke. Right, that is the end of part two of the Evo Stick MPL show from February, January, March, April and May. We'll be back very, very shortly after this advert.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Heat and Hops, the award-winning, future award-winning, past award-winning Heat and Hops here in
passed the award. Are you saying that
the Heatons?
It's not good enough to win.
No, I'm saying it's won awards in the past. No. I'm saying it's a present award winner and it's going to win awards in the future.
I'm sure it will. It's
excellent. It's exactly. A current award winner and we continue to win awards.
Exactly.
Have we won any awards?
No.
Have we tried?
No, to be fair, I don't get involved in all that.
So I wouldn't go.
So anyway, welcome back to the Enops. Andrew Simpson's here, Berkey's here, Swampy's here, James Hayes is here, Paulie James Hayes.
It's been an education.
I've loved it.
Oh, it's been absolutely outstanding.
Amazing.
You know, Anne, from North Yorkshire Coast Radio.
Who?
Anne, you know, Anne Taylor.
Yeah, he wants to come on the show.
He's a nice lad. Mm-hmm. You should get him on. He's very good. Same bird as Tigo. Wow. Identical. Wow. Actually.
Hope you get
Abraham Lincoln? Four points later in the relegation, now my forefather said to me,
"We've got 20 minutes. We're going to do.
If I'm in a chin strap as well.
We're going to.
It's better to go home.
We're going
to
do. No.
You don't.
Last order's at 9.
No, it's not.
It is. They start turning the lights off, and Simo's got to go back to Cheshire. Now, we're going to do a quick fixture preview for this weekend's matches in the Premier Division. And if we've got enough time, we'll talk about Division 1 South and North as well.
Yeah, I'll do it for you.
But just
Ashton, Alsey, Rushall, draw, Grantham.
I know you went to a Division 1 South game and you're really keen to share your experience.
Ben, in all fairness, could I just help you out here? Evo Stick Premier Division, postpone. Postponed. Hyde United at home, postponed. Flare on the pitch.
Anyway,
there you go. Good night, everyone.
Now,
all games are off, Ben. There's no point in talking about
it. Why?
Because the weather this week is
it's horrendous.
Snow, more snow.
Do you not read the Daily Express?
Let's talk about some of the matches this weekend in the Premier Division. The table. Ashton United against Colville. Not spoke about Colville. Colville have had a good season. They've had a good first half of the season, good second half of the season. It's been a good season.
They've been all right, haven't they? But Ashton should, even though they've got the injuries, they should have too much room, I think.
And what are you talking about? Talking about snow? It's Hurst Cross.
It is, yeah.
Hits the pitch and goes, oh, it's
well, if Colville
well out
there, they'll warm the place up anyway, so it's okay.
I just remember the second coldest I've ever been was with you at Hurst Cross. Ashton v Nantwich,
it was
time.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, Ashton really, it's a game for them to win.
Yeah.
Maybe by 3-1.
How challenging is this going to be at Silverlands? Not just because the Winter Olympics is coming up and there'll probably be ski preparations going on as well, but Buxton against Alter. Is there going to be a new management bounce at Buxton? Altrincham?
No, it's Alter. No chance.
And it depends, and it really depends whether or not Buxton were on Tuesday today. They're on Wednesday, aren't we? Sorry.
Yes.
So, are they going to bring anyone beforehand? I can't see it. Altrincham win.
Hales Owen against Rush Olympic.
Will this podcast be out before Saturday? Because Hales Owen's team talk will be done. Listening to us.
Yes, it will. It'll be out on Friday.
I'm going to stick my neck out like a very, very short neck giraffe.
A horse, then?
No, small neck giraffe.
Horses and giraffes aren't related.
Because giraffes are wonderful. Horses are a bit bobbins.
My second favourite land animal.
What, giraffes?
After goats.
I think Hales already win that game. I think Hales already win 1-0.
Hensford Town against Barwell. If Barwell win that game,
yeah,
are they really, really then banging on the door for as players?
It's more on. Yeah, but I think Hensford are going to win that game.
So you're saying a team in sixth position are going to get beaten at home
by the team in ninth?
Not a chance.
Not that outlandish.
Hensford Town will win that game and they'll win it convincingly.
But again,
if the game's on,
Barwell.
Tough game for Grantham away at Lancaster City.
Match postponed.
It really is as well.
Do check your club's Twitter feed before setting up.
If it's on Grant Marquis
Smith,
doing
the
old
8 o'clock in the morning on the league
page
as well.
Mickle over Sports against Stalybridge Celtic. Are Stalybridge going to win away from home?
No, home win. Mickle over beat Stalybridge 5-0 at.
We've not talked about Mickle over that much this week.
Well, we didn't talk about
it. I'm not going to do it again.
But they will win on Saturday.
Nantwich Town against Matlock Town.
Win for the Dabbers, I think.
Yeah.
Win for the Dabbers, good.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go against the great.
Shaw Lane against Marine. Tough game, this one, for Shaw Lane.
Is it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's really not. They'll win that by three.
Stafford Rangers against Whitby Town.
Draw.
Whitby. Yeah. Draw, if not Whitby.
Ball draw.
Big draw, but great, great, great buffet at the end of the game for everyone. Really enjoyed. Top quality, top draw buffet.
Sutton Coldfield against Warrington Town. Sutton Coldfield at home.
Normally you'd have this as an away banker, wouldn't you? But
what the game today, then?
Neil Tuff and all that. I don't know. I mean, with my Radio Manchester hat on, I'm going to say Warrington, but I think it's going to be a tight match.
Yeah, I do.
You lot of Radio Manchester need to calm down with your branching out. Warrington is not in Manchester.
They've always been on my patch because they're right in the middle of Manchester and Liverpool.
Half and half.
Rugby league,
yeah,
is
Merseyside,
but because Merseyside don't really do much in the way of non-league because there's no teams there. We have Warrington,
Fat Marine, and
Prescott Cable.
Marine, Prescott Cable,
Widnes,
AFC Liverpool, Widnes, City of Southport.
Don't they do Southport?
Southport they do as well. They've basically got four, 10 teams. No, they're
Tranmere.
They've got 10 teams. Tranmere. I've got 30 odd.
Anyway.
They don't get any.
Nice. My patch is bigger than your patch.
Yeah. Nice little insight there, isn't it? It's like a game of Sid Meier's Civilization, isn't it, where you lot of the BBC.
We've got.
I would suggest that Warrington Town should win that game.
Here's a game for you.
Oh, yeah.
Witten Albion against Stourbridge.
Ooh, that's a good game, isn't it?
I'm really looking forward to this one, if it's on.
Are you going?
I'll be there. I'll take my magnifying glass to see what on earth has happened to Stourbridge.
It's a gadget.
But I suspect
or
that...
private eye.
I don't think their resurgence starts here.
And finally, Workington against Fans of Celtic.
Workington, if it's going to bounce back, it's going to be massive.
I'm a bit worried about that. They'll be a bit shell-shocked.
What about Farsley?
They've gone off the boil.
They have, really, yeah. That's a good point.
Haven't they been off the ball now for ages? And they're still seventh.
Their start was fantastic, weren't it? And they've still got a flair about them, but they're just not quite...
It's a tough week for Farsley, because then they've got the Monday night game at Stourbridge.
Mm. Ooh, ouch.
So you're talking about, you know, travelling and that kind of thing. Feel sorry for Farsley at the moment.
Yeah, they'll lose both, unfortunately.
That's the Premier Division, but like we say, there are question marks over the weather at time of recording, so do check Twitter and evostickleague.co.uk before setting off on Saturday, or in Grantham's case on Friday. Now, just before we leave this month's show, last week, we were very excited. Well, I was, as the producer of the show, that we do have someone on the table who's been to a Division 1 South game. Not since Simo decided to jump ship from Division 1 South have we had such expertise at the table. Birka, you went to Leek for a holiday,
yeah,
to watch and you surprised your better half with a trip to Leek Town against Chase Town. How was that for you?
Well, she surprised me by saying she wanted to go to Leek, and it just so happened to coincide with Leek Town playing Chase Town, and it was a really good match. A little bit brutal in the second half, I think it'd be fair to say. There was some Mortal Kombat kind of shenanigans.
Did anyone shout finish him?
I did. I was behind the goal at the far end.
Leek were unbelievably so unlucky not to win that game. It was ridiculous, so many chances.
You weren't even there, and you know they did.
You know what, Ben? This division provides us with highlights, and I watched them.
Yep.
And I've never seen such a one-sided game. Unfortunately,
it weren't quite like that. It really, the first half, it was pretty much one-way traffic. There was three chances that the visitors had. The captain, I think it's Langdale, he's got a cannon of a boot on him, and he scored a couple of goals. Absolutely fantastic stuff. But Leek, they pass it around, they move the ball, they're a really, really good, entertaining team to watch. Remind me a little bit actually of Farsley from last season. Really, really good side.
Obviously that game took place before the Cleethorpes points deduction took place, so Leek Town, we're going to speak to Leek Town on the Division 1 show, actually, we should say. Leek Town and Chase Town, as well as Stocksbridge, they're all back in play now, aren't they, in the playoff
Chase Town were brutal, by the way.
Well, they were, yeah. I mean,
they really were, and
they were challenged. They were proper challengers as well, weren't they?
They've got a very good number four, though. I think it's called Lovick, who he's just like Julio Arca, basically. He just sits at the back in front of the back four, strokes the ball around left, right, and centre.
Just to mention Bakersfield United, how many points did they need now?
The 14 off the playoffs and 30 off promotion as it stands. So.
They've still got a long way to go, but
a lot of the teams between 2nd and 7th are playing each other during the month, so that 13 will get
promoted. Can we just say that there's only one team going to win that division?
Yeah, we're all going to Bakersfield next year. Well, yeah. I will be.
I mean, I might go Basford, but I mean, apparently can't say that.
It's Basford.
I mean, he said it's Basford. No, he says Birmingham.
Well, down the bottom end as well.
Didn't you ask him?
I've asked them. I've asked the manager, and I've asked Martin Crothers, I've asked the chairman. It's Basford.
Basford.
You enjoy Division 1 South?
Love
recommend it.
Absolutely.
Okay, there we go.
I've
just got to say, Leek is a fantastic place to go out in. There's so many really, really, really good pubs. I couldn't believe it.
But
it
was no train station.
That's why it's so good, because it's isolated. And if you got there, I've got there on the bus, of course.
Finally, just before we go, just a quick mention for Division 1 North. We're going to be.
What do you mean a quick mention?
I should say we've also got. We're also going to be catching up with Gresleyan in Division 1 South.
Is that the right side of the Pennines for our discerning listeners?
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Oh.
Definitely on the right side of the Pennines is South Shields. We're going to be speaking to South Shields in the Division 1 show.
It's too far north
of the Pennines.
Of the Pennines, yeah.
Actually, you look at it. Do you know Edinburgh is west of the Pennines?
Evo City Division North, we've got absolutely outstanding for those teams that have kept up with South Shields.
Agreed.
It is absolutely. We all thought, and I've seen in plenty of times South Shields, no one thought that we would be in a situation where we are. It's testament to the likes of Scarborough, Hyde, Bamber, Prescott, Clear Road, Trafford, that are all there or thereabouts. Especially Scarborough and Hyde that have kept them all the way through.
Hang on, and Bamber Bridge.
And Bamber, yeah.
Who had a slow start and have gone like a train.
Red Renault on last week. Yeah.
South Shields actually know they're in a fight and a dogfight. They know that everyone has picked up their game tremendously. And you mentioned Julian Arca. He plays for South Shields. I mean, he really is a quality player. They've got top draw quality players and they are really matching them. And it's been a great
best race in the three divisions, isn't it?
Just without a shadow of a doubt, superb. I mean, no one ever predicted it. No. We all said that South Shields would have won the league by Christmas.
Yeah.
We all thought that. That's how good they are.
Well,
fair play.
They had won it at Christmas, but then they started dropping a few points.
Berkey, speaking of points, you're one of these people who works out points per game and that kind of
something
thing.
Something else we found out tonight, isn't it?
And Hyde United are in third position, and you're acutely aware that... acutely, that's a posh word. You're aware that, obviously, the team, best place, third place team at step four will get automatic promotion. Where are we up to? Because there's South Shields, Scarborough, Hyde and Bamber Bridge all thinking about that third position.
Well, at the moment, Hyde in third place and they're holding pole position for it.
Is that across all the divisions?
Yeah,
it's
looking good for the First Division North, even if Hyde don't get it. Bamber Bridge could sneak in there as well, or Scarborough if they drop a place or whatever. But, or, of course, South Shields, should they drop a couple of clangers. But yeah, it's looking good for this division in general.
For Scarborough, fairness though, I mean, Scarborough have the opportunity. Where South Shields and Hyde play each other in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So therefore, Scarborough
and
looking forward to that.
Hyde v Bamber Bridge twice as well.
Yeah. So there's some big games coming around.
Bamber Bridge have got an amazing next few fixtures. They literally play everybody. Yeah.
Clitheroe next week.
They've got Prescott, I think, as well coming up. They've just got so many teams to play.
Get through that as a four horse.
See this points per game table. Is anyone like compiling it somewhere? Where is it?
On the internet somewhere. I've seen it.
The
Football Women's web pages are doing multiple teams in the playoffs.
Just to say, if it boils down to, and no disrespect to the other teams in playoff contention as well, but we could be looking at South Shields, Scarborough, Hyde and Bamber Bridge all being in the NPL Premier next season.
Superb.
That strengthened that division massively. I mean, it's a strong division anyway, but
we might have
struggling
to have a chance of.
One of the great things about this division at this moment in time is South Shields are even guaranteed a place in the division.
If they go up, they'll go up, yeah.
No, I know, but I'm saying...
no question.
No,
what,
no.
They win the Premier Division?
Yeah.
They'd win it now. Over Alton.
Over Alton?
Yeah, I think they would.
Nah.
No, I agree with that. I think, I personally believe if South Shields have been in...
Well, how good,
this season,
how good is Scarborough
the
then?
Sorry?
How good is Scarborough
very
then?
Very good. And not as good as that, obviously.
And Hyde have beaten them home and away.
Yeah. Yes, true.
But then South Shields took you to town.
Bad day at the office.
There we go. And that cliche clacks in. That is the end of the Evo Stick NPL show. Don't forget, there is a Division 1 show out as well on this channel. But I should say as well, we've also got Skelmersdale United and Colwyn Bay coming on the Division 1 show too. Because we don't cover the Welsh. And, you know.
Is that another complaint we've had?
No, boys.
Does anyone tell us we're all right?
She's
all right.
Simo, a big thank you for joining us from the Mid Cheshire Guardian.
No problem.
Berkey from Radio Manchester, thank you.
Thank you.
Swampy from the Non-League Show, thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
And thank you to James Hayes, thank you for coming, even though you're Paula. But from everyone here at the Hinox.
When I was Paula the other month, you didn't say thanks for coming, even though you're Paula.
The thing is, you don't turn to coaches when you're Paula.
Oh!
And on that note,
that's a day.
Goodbye, everyone. We'll be back next week with the weekly show. Farewell.
That is a day. He's got a point.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.